This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Chuck Severson. A mixed verdict in the Karen Reed trial outside Boston, accused of hitting her Boston police officer boyfriend John O'Keefe with her car in a blizzard and leaving him to die. A jury found Reed guilty of drunk driving, but not guilty on all other charges, including a second-degree murder charge. Cheers from supporters of Reed outside of court as the verdict was being read. And here's part of that.
Operating under the influence of liquor by operating a motor vehicle with a blood alcohol level of 0.08 or greater. Correct?
Yes.
So say you, Mr. Foreman?
Yes.
So say you all?
Yes.
003. What say you? Is the defendant at the bar leaving the scene after accident resulting in death? The defendant not guilty or guilty? So say you, Mr. Foreman? So say you all?
Again, a jury found Karen Reed guilty of drunk driving, but not guilty on other charges, including second-degree murder. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Fresh Realm establishments are recalling chicken fettuccine Alfredo products that may be adulterated with an outbreak strain of Listeria monocytogenes, or LM. Out of an abundance of caution, the company is voluntarily recalling all products produced prior to June 17th that are available under the following brand names and shipped to Kroger and Walmart retail locations nationwide. 32.8-ounce tray packages containing market-side grilled chicken Alfredo with fettuccine tender pasta with creamy Alfredo sauce, white meat chicken, and shaved Parmesan cheese with Best By Date, June 27, 2025 or prior. 12.3-ounce tray packages containing market-side grilled chicken Alfredo with fettuccine, tender pasta, with creamy Alfredo sauce, white meat chicken, broccoli, and shaved Parmesan cheese with Best By Date, June 26, 2025 or prior. And 12.5-ounce tray packages containing Home Chef Heat and Eat Chicken Fettuccine Alfredo with pasta, grilled white meat chicken, and Parmesan cheese with Best By Date, June 19, 2025 or prior. The products bear the USDA mark of inspection on the product label as well as establishment numbers ESTP50784, ESTP47770, or ESTP47718 printed on the side of the packaging. The Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service and public health partners are investigating an outbreak of LM that currently includes 17 ill people in 13 states. As of June 17th, there have been 3 reported deaths and 1 fetal loss associated with this outbreak. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Jair joins the Ravens. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, former Packers defensive back Jair Alexander has signed a 1-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens worth $6 million. Baseball, Brewers are in Chicago tonight. They lost to the Cubs 5-3 last night. Pat Murphy.
That was a good game. A lot of great defensive plays, both ends. They hit in the clutch. You know, they did some clutch hitting. Suzuki's homer changed the game. I'm proud of our guys. We did some good things. We didn't necessarily hit big situations, but leaving 10 guys on base or 9, whatever it was. But, you know, credit to their pitching staff and credit to their defense. They got a great lineup.
The Cubs' Pete Crow Armstrong with a diving catch of Bryce Terang's liner in the 8th and followed that up with a 2-run homer in the 9th, 452 feet, hitting the scoreboard. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
That's why we come to the ballpark, to see things like that, to see great players do great things. Great players do amazing things. Pretty cool.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On and off rain today, heavy at times, and embedded thunderstorms are possible too. As high temperatures today stay much cooler, only scraping the low 70s. Flash flooding is possible, and keep an eye on those streams, as around an inch of rainfall or more is likely. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
Front seat, just this one time. Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Who wins in war? Billionaires do. We discuss one such billionaire's efforts to buy Wisconsin elections and the lawsuit to stop them with Jeff Mandel and Scott Thompson of Law Forward.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome in hour number two of the big program here on Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day.
That's right. There's the old camel reminding us we're halfway through the week here in downtown Madison, the world headquarters. Overcast skies. A little few raindrops there, Mr. Zommers. Raindrops keep falling on my head. Can we look out at the old Sam Davidson street cam? Is that angled correctly or not?
I believe so. Just a second.
Very good. We'll take a look here. Let's people are set. With their umbrellas there as they're going down through State Street. Beautiful State Street here in downtown. Look at that. Oh, a little rain on the window, so it's a little blurry. But yeah, cars speeding along. Trees are very green, right? I went for a walk last night at Picnic Point on the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus. Beautiful night. Things are very green. Looks like it's an Endor, the planet of the Ewoks from Star Wars.
That's the right one.
Yeah, it looks a little bit like that. All right, very good. We'll check in. It'll be rainy skies, but then heating up. Going to be darn near 90 degrees by the end of the week and humid. It's going to be sultry here in the state of Wisconsin. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, our friend, our colleague, Earl Ingram Jr., is going to be joining us via StreamYard from Milwaukee, where tomorrow for Juneteenth, one of the largest Juneteenth celebrations in, I believe, the Midwest or the country, is going to happen in Milwaukee tomorrow. 1 year ago, Earl and I were out at Baraboo celebrating Juneteenth out there, so Earl will be in to give us the details on that. And in just a bit, what's worse, but sticking around for just a bit of hour number two here, our friend and ongoing contributor, he's our guest every Wednesday, former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor with the Lincoln Project, joining us from his home in suburban Washington, D.C. via StreamYard, Trigby Olson. Trigby, appreciate you sticking around.
Todd,
yeah,
I have a list.
Of what?
Now I have names.
Oh, wow. Hang on. Before you do this, let's set it up. In hour number one, we talked about two things. A, Republicans in the legislature looking at cutting at least $87 million from the UW system budget. We were the first to report on this on Monday night. And also talked about political extremism and political violence, about the tragedy, the assassination that happened in Minnesota. So what do you got?
All right. So we've got some guy. Who's Hans H. that's in the state Senate? You know, somebody named Hans H.
Nope.
I don't know either. Rob Coles, Howard Markline, Patrick Teston. He graduated from Stevens Point. Andre Jacques.
Yep.
He went to UW-Madison. He graduated in 2003. Now I'm wondering, has the place changed since then, or was it a woke den of indoctrination then? Some guy, Rob Hutton, Whitewater, Nate Gustafson, Madison, Robin Voss, Whitewater. Janelle
Branchen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rob Swearingen, Shane Barnett, Alex Dullman, and there may be more, according to it. And then you also have Brian Stile, who graduated from the UW-Madison Law School. That is just a partial list that the ChatGPT machine came up with. It also says that a John Jagler did not complete his degree from UW-Parkside, but did attend.
So is there, to your point, you have all these Republicans that were happy, apparently, to pay their tuition and be graduates of these fine University of Wisconsin system public universities, but now they want to cut $87 million because they say it's not good enough for other people.
Who's the president of the state senate? Is it a Mary Fleszkowski?
Fleszkowski, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She graduated from the University of Wisconsin River Falls with a degree in bachelor's in economics and finance. There's also a state senator, Rob Staffsholt.
I don't know.
R10? Staffsholt? He graduated from he attended both River Falls and Eau Claire.
All right. So the point is that they should
There's a bunch of them. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Trigby is fired up today over this report that we were happy to proud to first break on Monday night. The Republicans are looking to gut the UW system.
I'm very concerned, Todd.
Thank you.
There are a lot of Republicans who have been indoctrinated in communism.
Thank you, Susan
Collins.
This could
be a communist plot to undermine us,
Todd. Susan, Trigby is very concerned.
I'm very concerned.
I'm going to write a strongly worded email. All right, let's go to the phone line.
At least most of them graduated, which is more than Scott Walker did.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Out to Los Angeles, California, and L.A. Tom. L.A., always a pleasure. What say you?
Yeah, guys, I have a question for you. Are Republicans in power, are they just pinky, or are they just, everything comes back to them. Either they're obsessed with bathrooms, they're obsessed with gay people, they're obsessed with lesbians. I mean, they're obsessed with anything that has to do with sexuality. Is that because they've been so repressed over the years and they, when they went to college, they didn't really meet anybody outside of their own little circle or what? Because honestly, I mean, I'm to the point where I think they should ask Donald Trump a simple question. Donald Trump, are you a closeted gay man? Because you definitely love men.
There seems to be an obsession.
Strong men.
There seems to be an obsession. Trigby?
I will say my buddy Stuart Stevens, and fellow Lincoln Project colleague, he often gets going about, and there is a lot of truth to this. I had never met so many gay men in my life until I got, went out and worked on Capitol Hill. Republican offices were full of closeted gay men. And it's kind of a strange phenomenon back then, Todd. And you and I have talked about it.
Oh, yeah,
this.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean,
To your point, L.A.,
my thing is, whatever floats your boat, right? Like, I'm very libertarian, as you know.
Well,
so,
I do, too, but they keep talking about DEI and everything, that it's like,
yeah, I know.
Why don't they just come out of the closet already instead of being self-hating, gay, closeted men?
No, you're right. I mean, to your previous point,
legislating.
When I worked in the Capitol and also in D.C., Trigby's right. There were all kinds, particularly of gay closeted men. I was one of them for a while. And here's a sad fact for Todd. In all my years, I can honestly tell you I never hooked up with a closeted Republican. I mean, think of the opportunities missed in all those years. But, I mean, you're right. Stuart Stevens writes in one of his books that, it's the one of the dirty – it was all a lie that to L.A. Tom's point that – they're so obsessed with anti-gay stuff, and either so many of the legislators or their staff are themselves gay and living in the closet. It's sick. I mean, I can honestly say I was never hypocritical about it. I was never anti-gay living in the closet back in the day. But I think he has a good point, Trigby, that some.
Well, who else makes that point all the time is my buddy Tim Miller, right?
Yeah.
Like, so Tim, Tim is gay and he makes that point in his book, right? Like from that perspective of how many, and I think in your case, and I think in Tim's case, I don't want to put words in his mouth, like, the truth of the matter is, and regardless of what your truth is, one of the things I've learned in life is a lot of bad things happen when people don't feel comfortable living their truths, and a lot of people get hurt.
Agreed.
And yeah, yep, totally.
Who's John Jett? Is that Cam?
Yeah.
Cam says, well, Grindr didn't crash at the RNC for no reason. That's true. That's actually true. Our friend Kristen did a whole segment on the fact that Grindr was going nuts at the RNC in Milwaukee. All right, it's 15. Let's get to that question, Zobbers, that was on Matt in Middleton. If Travy can answer it quickly here. Matt in Middleton was talking about political extremism. Trigvy, what can we do about this religious extremism in America? I think it's a big problem, as is money in politics.
Yeah, so, well, first thing that you can do is you can subscribe to my Substack, because just about every day, although today I didn't write, I have been putting out three things that people can do to stand up and fight for democracy and fight extremism. And I've also broken down what I've learned about extremism from around the world, which ironically, in some cases, got attacked viciously by extremists. I just kind of found that funny. Yeah. Sort of like me having an opinion on how Jordan Love plays quarterback, right? If I knew what I was talking about, I'd probably be playing quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. But what do we have to do? The first thing that we have to do is everybody needs to think about what can they personally contribute to the cause. And the cause has to be, you know, it's not about you. It's about the people who've been succumbing to the extremism. And I say this in many ways. Donald Trump is sort of, whether they realize it or not, and I probably take a lot of flack for this, there's a lot of Americans who are in an abusive relationship with Donald Trump because he isn't ultimately serving their interests, but they're sticking with him. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. Like, if you've ever dealt with somebody who's in an abusive relationship, attacking the abuser isn't what helps. You got to ask them questions and lead them to find in themselves that they're being abused. And so a lot of it is about, how do we engage with people, not by preaching at them, but by getting them to think with their conscious part of their brain about the cognitive dissonance that exists? And I mean, one example is the tariffs. 73% of the 10% of jobs in Wisconsin under threat from tariffs, the 74% of those people voted for Donald Trump. You have to be asking him about that. Same thing with this thing about attacking the UW system. You know?
Yeah, well said.
If you have somebody in your community who's a nurse or like these legislators who went to the UW system, ask them questions. Were you indoctrinated, Robin? And if so, here's my question, Robin. If so, why didn't you do something about it? Because, quite frankly, the path you chose to go down has had more ability to impact from college forward the UW system than anybody, with the exception of probably Tommy Thompson.
True.
So,
all right.
Why did you allow this to happen, Robin?
Robin Voss, Trigvy Olson.
Come on the show, Robin. It's been a long time. And honestly, I will be nice.
It's going to be a big bin of butter popcorn and a throwdown. All right, it's 18
nice.
Past the hour
I can't
of three.
Guarantee you Todd
time
will be
once
nice,
again for what's worse.
Snippy.
Let's go. All right, time once again for what's worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, just your opportunity to have your voice heard across all 11 stations on the Civic Media Ready Network. Going to give you the question, take your answers on the other side of the break. What's worse, the category today, Tricky, what's worse, people who are critical of others or people who are not critical of others? People who are critical of others, people who are not critical of others. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. 45 seconds, Trigvy, what's worse?
People who are not critical of themselves.
Well, that's not part of the category.
Well, it's this or that, but no, I'm going this or that or that. Which is worse?
What's worse or the other thing?
Yeah, well, honestly, the crack team, people, well, can I think about it through the break?
You can,
have an
you can absolutely think about it through the break. You're going to think about it. Zomer's going to think about it. We're going to pop up some Robin Voss popcorn here, put some extra butter on. since he's a little slick right now up there at the state capitol. Come back, answer the question, call in, text, people who are critical of others or people who are not critical of others. What's worse? 855-752-4842. Your calls, your texts on the other side. It's the All Ball Show for a Wednesday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, do we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Monster on the beat, Debo in rap. He a free throw, man damn, call a Amber Lambs. Tell him free, bro, Nella New to the cross. He walk around like Tizo. What's up with these Jabroni here?
Welcome back to the Scott Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 past the hour of 3 o'clock. You dial up Snoop Zommers?
No, it's Kendrick Lamar, not like us, because it's a diss track. So if you're talking about being critical of people, a diss track is...
It sounded a lot like Snoop to me.
I can see where you're coming from with that.
I don't listen to it. I listen to virtually no rap. So, you know, that shows how, what an idiot I am. 855-752-4842, the what's worse category today. People who are critical of others or people who are not critical of others. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. As Trigby said, this is a category today that might make people think a little bit self-reflective, perhaps. I don't know. 855-752-4842, 855-742-4842. John, listening on WMDX, our old friend John, says, got to be critical of others when necessary to start conversation and hold them accountable for their words and actions, all while creating a buzz to inform others. Wish the media would do more of this 24/7. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Jim, listening in Brookfield, WAUK, says, for the sake of my marriage, I have to say people who are not critical of others are worse. Otherwise, my wonderful wife will be critical of my answer. Jim from Brookfield. Appreciate that, Jim. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Jimmy, listening on WMDX in Madison. people who are critical of others or people who are not critical of others? Jimmy, what's worse?
Oh, definitely people who are critical of others. But I also like them to be qualified, you know, like, for instance, there was a time I remember when everybody that ran for the Tea Party barely had a college education, but they all ran and criticized and wanted to tear stuff down. But if you're qualified, I can take the criticism.
Right.
If you have experience, I can take the criticism. But watching people who have no interest in governing, watching people who have no interest in being making things good for the American people, it's just destructive and it's crazy.
Yeah.
I can remember when Republicans were talking about being the party of family, but it seems like, and this was a few years back, but it seemed like every other month a Republican was either getting caught in the bathroom, they were getting caught with pages, it's just the hypocrisy of it all. So, you know, and it's just like listening to Donald Trump. You know he doesn't know, but yet all of the media, it seems, news outlets, talking heads, they are wasting hundreds of thousands of precious hours talking about this, and he absolutely means nothing to us because it's just grifting. And all of his friends see that that's a powerful thing to do and you can get away with it.
Right.
And they're doing it.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate the call. 855-752.
Jimmy has the best radio voice I've ever heard.
It was. It was a great radio voice. Jimmy, have you ever, is Jimmy still there? Jimmy, have you done radio before? Jimmy is not there. All right. Well, Jimmy, if you're listening, Trigvy and I vote you as the best radio voice of the day, including me, who's paid to do this on radio. Well said, Jimmy. 855-752-4842. Brian, listening on WGBW in beautiful Green Bay. We were just up there last week. Great crew up there at GBW, says, I refuse to be critical of this question. All right. Cam, listening to Appleton. My wife's boyfriend is pretty critical, not a fan. Len, listening to Madison on WMDX, people who are not critical of others may be worse for society as a whole.
That's my stance. Just because that I'm jumping in now for my answer because Len worded it better than I was going to. Mm. Yeah, people who are not critical of others may be worse for society as a whole because that's how we end up with people like Robin Voss in charge, where if you don't look at what he's saying and say, huh, that doesn't add up, then you just let terrible things happen.
Right. Heather, listening in Eau Claire on Facebook, says, in this day and age, I need a caveat that these critical thoughts are based on facts. But honestly, the combo of being Gen X and a woman of a certain age, i.e. menopause, I don't have time for milquetoasty people. So those who are not critical are worse. Don't ask me if you don't want to know.
I agree.
Trigvy, people who are critical of others or people who are not critical of others. What's worse?
I guess not critical.
People who are not critical of others. All right.
Yeah, I still think people who aren't critical of themselves are the worst. But
well, yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. Well, just looking here, David New Berlin says people who are critical of others are worse. I'm not entirely confident that people that are critical of others are able to acknowledge their own shortcomings. There you
totally
go, Trigvy. See?
Yeah, that's a good point.
See, that's kind of what Trigvy was saying there. Scott, listening in Madison on WMDX, says people who are not critical of others end up voting for people like Trump. So, yeah, lack of critical thinking is worse. Greg in beautiful Genesee Depot on WAUK says people who are not critical of other people are worse. Kurt in Madison, the thing just skipped there. Kurt Madison says, what's worse when we say others, which I think includes politicians, then it would clearly be those who do not criticize. All right.
Kim in Appleton also says, critical is fine if critical people can admit when they are wrong. Also, Todd, your camera is slanted and you're slouching and you have cookie dust in your beard.
I don't have cookie dust in my beard.
I know. He's just joking around about criticizing.
Well, the camera is – we bought the camera at Walmart and it just sits on top of a thing and it's kind of cockeyed. It's like the seamstress that couldn't menstruate. She was cockeyed. Anyway, Trigvy, so there we go. There's another edition of What's Worse. We appreciate everybody for playing along. That was a lot of fun. Trigvy, thanks for hanging around and for bringing us your insight as always. You'll be watching the Packers. On next, our friend Earl Ingram Jr., who's a big Detroit Lions fan. So I'm worried. I think the Lions could give us the Packers some trouble this year. They're good.
Whatever, Todd.
Wow. No respect for the Lions. We'll find out what Earl Ingram thinks about that, and more importantly, what's happening in Milwaukee for Juneteenth. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Netherlands to Thorpe, Wisconsin. This story to becoming a master cheesemaker is a Gouda one. I'm Kylie Allen with the Midwest Farm Report, and Marika Penterman is the owner of Marika Gouda. She shares how her journey that spans thousands of miles got started.
Roloff and his brother, we all grew up on a 60-cow dairy farm in the Netherlands. But Rolf and his brother, they both wanted to farm, the dairy farm. And the Netherlands fits about five times in the state of Wisconsin. And we have about 18 million people versus Wisconsin, where we have about 5 million, I believe, and is five times bigger. So in the Netherlands, there was just land is very expensive. There are a lot of rules the ability to grow. When you have a drive, is a little bit harder.
4 to 5 months after making their first cheese, Marika Gouda was given awards at the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest. Marika is now a master cheesemaker for Gouda and plans to expand her ability to ship more cheese to keep up with demand. I'll have a look at your closing markets after this.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp, Cleary Building Corp, built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
I'm Kylie Allen with the Midwest Farm Report, and let's take a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 4.33 and a half, up 2. New crop corn closed up 5 and a quarter at 4.44. Cash beans closed at 10.74 and 3 quarters, up 3 quarters. New crop beans closed at 10.68 and a quarter, up a half. July wheat closed at 5.74 and a quarter, up 25 and a quarter. July Class 3 milk contract is down 29 cents and is trading at 17.67 a hundredweight. August milk is trading down 40 cents at 18.21 a hundredweight. 40-pound block cheese closed at 1.69, down 6.5 cents. AA butter closed at 2.52 and 3 quarters, down 5 cents. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On and off rain today, heavy at times, and embedded thunderstorms are possible too. As high temperatures today stay much cooler, only scraping the low 70s. Flash flooding is possible, and keep an eye on those streams, as around an inch of rainfall or more is likely. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, ICE agents are taking people into custody with no identification and they're masked. What is the legality of that? Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
The Tom Bell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here. And whenever you hear that music, you know that our friend, our colleague, Civic Media's own Earl Ingram Jr. cannot be far behind. And I'm pleased to announce, such is the case today, we welcome via StreamYard from the Milwaukee area, Mr. Earl Ingram, joining us live. Earl, thanks so much for coming on.
I'm honored and privileged to have the opportunity to share time with you once again.
The privilege and honor is ours, Earl. We were talking before we came on the air about a year ago. Tomorrow is Juneteenth. A year ago on Juneteenth, you and I were up in Baraboo, Wisconsin, in southwest Wisconsin, for their first annual celebration, as it turns out, on a day similar, at least in Madison, like it, a little drizzly out here. But boy, what a great day that was, Earl, to see that community of southwest Wisconsin come together to celebrate Juneteenth. And then I would say, at least personally for me, equally as fun was just spending some time hanging out with you. We went around Devil's Lake State Park, had a meal together, and it was just a great day of sharing and hanging out.
You know, man, what it really was, you know, we live in the same state. And people can be so far away and not really get to know one another. And that opportunity we got to share with one another was precious. And it just goes to show that, you know, as big as the earth is, you know, we don't have to stay so separated. And you get a chance to meet each other in different environments, and that's always good. That's always positive. And if we can do that more on a global scale, we wouldn't be, you know, facing the kind of things that we face as human beings.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I want to offer you an apology on the air, Earl, because we had this great meal. We hung out last year, and we said we need to do this more often. And I have been remiss in making this happen more often, and I want to apologize to you and tell you we got to have these conversations on the air and off, but particularly on the air more often. That's going to be my goal moving forward, if you're willing to do it, because of what you just said. The more that we talk to one another, even though we may have come from different places or have differences, I think that's the best medicine, or at least a large part of the medicine, to heal what's going on in this country and this state right now.
You know, if we don't communicate one with the other, then we stay estranged. And, you know, we're looking at the things that are going on in the world right now. And at the root of most of those is misunderstanding of other human beings. And the answer certainly can't be because we don't communicate one with the other then we rely on destroying one another. I mean, that's barbaric at its core. But, you know, I would be honored. And, you know, thank you very much for the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. And Zomers, let's make sure that you hold me accountable. Let's do that. On the lighter side, quickly, we had our friend Trigvi Olsen on, who likes to brag about being one of the millions of Green Bay Packer owners. And I brought up the fact, of course, that you're a Detroit fan. And he dissed it a little bit. I'm going to say I'm worried about the Lions, Earl, this year.
Well, you know, it's strange you say that. I had a pretty long conversation with the grave digger this morning.
Gilbert Brown, who he knows very well.
Absolutely. You know, we are preparing to resurrect the Gilbert Brown football camp in the city of Milwaukee, which we did for 16 years prior to COVID. And so COVID shut that down. Well, on July 7th, we'll kick off our 16th year of that free football camp. Gilbert Brown, the gravedigger himself, makes that happen, makes that possible, and thousands of young boys and girls will get an opportunity who don't know anything about Gilbert Brown, but get a chance to be engaged in a three-day camp that we'll be, you know, sponsoring.
And that's just that's one of the many things I love about you and about what you've done in the Milwaukee area, because you're just one of those guys, Earl, that says, here's something that needs to be done. Let's just do it. you get things done in the Milwaukee area, in your community, and I just thank you for that.
Well, you know, man, at the root of it is what I want. I grew up in the 1960s, you know, as a young boy, and I was experiencing community at its best. Mm-hmm. And I am who I am because of that community. It's safe. It certainly was together, and it kind of made me who I am. And so children today don't have that opportunity. Technology and all sorts of other things take them away from those kinds of things. And in the years that I have left, my goal has been, along with others, to do everything in possible for us to make sure that they have a better opportunity at life. And I think that's kind of like passing the baton is the verbiage that's used a lot, but it clearly is. And I always tell people in my community that unless we pull together as a community and make sure that those who come after us have a better opportunity in life, then the future is not very bright.
I couldn't agree with you more, Earl. B, he's much too modest. You know, these phrases like, oh, whatever time I have left, like he's some kind of an old guy. I'm telling you, we were up at the Baraboo Bluffs last year, and anybody's gone to Devil's Lake State Park, you have that, these granite steps that are built in, and we're hiking up, and Earl's about, 15, almost 20 years older than me. And Todd's going, and Earl's just like, come on, man. Come on. You're in fantastic shape, or you're in fighter shape.
Well, for a guy that will soon be 71.
Wow.
People can't believe that I'm that age. I'll tell you, I don't feel it. I don't feel a day older than 70.
Well, you're beating the butt of a 55-year-old, I'll tell you that much. First of all, before we get to Juneteenth, Earl, first, Jim in Brookfield, listening in on WAUK, says, hi, Earl, where can I get a woke hat like the one you're wearing for those not watching on the stream, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube? Earl's wearing this great hat that says woke. Is that a custom-made piece, Earl? Are you launching a new line of hats, of clothing, an Earl Ingram Jr. line?
Well, you know, it is kind of custom made, and I had it made at the height of the discussion on woke, mm-hmm. Because I know the true definition of woke before somebody changed it. Mm-hmm. And so the definition of woke, I don't care whether it's Rosé's Thesaurus or, you know, Webster or whichever dictionary you look in, there's already been a definition for woke. It's perceptive. And somebody who, you know, basically is aware. And even though people have changed the definition of it, I'm very comfortable in making sure that people see me with my woke hat. Yeah. And it's always good to hear from Jim from Brookfield. So, Jim, it's always good to hear from you, my friend.
Absolutely. Earl, I think it's always good. We have these celebrations for a reason, and that is to commemorate things. I think it's always good just to take a step back, as our friend Matt Flynn likes to say. He likes to say, Matt Flynn, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. I think he's right about that. So give us a little bit of history, Earl Ingram, on Juneteenth and the origins and what this really means.
Well, I can tell you that I never knew. I wasn't taught anything about Juneteenth Day when I was in school.
Really?
And absolutely not. Wow. And, you know, that's what's so ironic about it is that we're facing a time right now where the history is being erased. We've got a president of the United States who thinks that all of that history should be wiped away and people should never know. But Juneteenth Day, June 19th, 1865, when Union soldiers arrived in Galveston, Texas, to announce the end of slavery and, you know, the day that blacks were freed. Now, you know, most people would say, well, why do you guys need to have, and I've heard this said, a separate day, 1776, the birth of American Independence Day, is our celebration, and that's the day that all of us, you know, should celebrate. Why do you have to have a separate day? Well, that day, 1776, the birth of, you know, America's independence didn't include black people. Mm-hmm. And so black people weren't set free at that point in time. So it was, again, 1865 when the Union soldiers arrived in Galveston, Texas, 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was issued by then-President Abraham Lincoln. On July 1st, 1863, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And so it decried, it said that all enslaved people in Confederate territory were then free. But 2 years later, that information still hadn't reached Texas, Galveston, Texas, and people were still being enslaved. So it was at that point in time that finally the Union soldiers were able to make it down to Texas and make sure that people were made aware that they were no longer slaves. 2 years mm-hmm. after the Emancipation Proclamation, and celebrations began at that point in time. And, you know, there's 250,000 or so black people in America who were enslaved at that point in time. And so they were, for the first time in their lives, declared free.
What I find, and thank you for that history lesson, number one. Number two, maybe the most fascinating thing you said so far, at least on that that part there, was at the beginning of it. I mean, I'm, as you know, I grew up in Southwest Wisconsin, a town of 5,000 people. We literally had one black family in our school district. And I went to, you know, grade school, high school in the 70s and 80s. So I never was taught about Juneteenth. But to hear you, as a black person growing up, and saying that you were not, you never heard about it growing up in school either, that's A, fascinating, and B, just so sad that we're not, you know, there's so much opportunity to do better, to teach kids where they came from and why, so that everybody knows the history, so we can appreciate, because we all got a journey, Earl. Doesn't matter where we came from. We all got a journey, and I think we need to do more to respect each other's journey.
Well, I think more than anything else, this history needs to be taught to all children, mm-hmm. and not just to black children, because
100%.
You know, as long as people aren't made aware, can you imagine? I think sometimes about my ancestors, and what they went through, and to finally, you know, hear Abraham Lincoln, and you know, the Emancipation Proclamation and all of those things, mm-hmm. and finally be freed of one of the worst chapters in the history of mankind, and yet still not be free, is a calumny. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say this, you know, the past is the past, and people will say, is better left in the past. But my response to that always is, you know, if you listen to Jewish people, they'll say, never forget the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And yet people are telling people of color that happened such a long time ago, we need to get beyond that. Why are you bringing that up? Well, again, it was a part of the history of our nation, mm-hmm. and it should never be forgotten.
Stay tuned, more with Earl Ingram Jr. on the other side. Talk a little Juneteenth and other things here as well. Don't go anywhere. It's Earl. It's Todd. It's the Civic Media Radio Network all across the state of Wisconsin. Back after this.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour, the top of the hour, the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. It's going to be ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. A little weather update, Brittany Merlo. Drizzly today, it's going to heat up by the end of the week. 90 degrees or close to that, maybe heated indexes near 100 by the end of the weekend. And then our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, will be in with a sports update. And then the Maggie Dawn Show across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network from 4 until 6, followed by Pete Schwabba and Nightlight from 6 until 8. And then after that, it's our friend Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. Right now being joined by Earl Ingram Jr. here of Civic Media, talking a little Juneteenth. But Earl, I want to pick up on something before we move to tomorrow's Milwaukee celebration. You were speaking so well, eloquently, about the need for education of our young people, just talking about the lack of teaching about Juneteenth in our schools. But Robert Pilot has brought up as well that we don't do enough in our school systems and teaching our youth about the true, you know, a lot of revisionism these days on the history of Native Americans in this country. And I just think that we all function better. We're talking off the air, the importance of getting to kids. I don't care whether it's behavioral or education or whatever, when they're young, through programs like yours, because they we be we become better adults, and it's a lot better to invest in kids when they're young than try to turn around bad behavior as they get old.
And a lot cheaper.
Right.
And I would agree with the gentleman, the Native American.
Robert Pilot, yeah.
If you know their history, you know the history, the fact that our nation has erased what transpired in this country is really shameful. And what's to be gained in the long run by not telling that history? You know, the Native Americans had some ways and some things that they did and that they understood about the beauty of this land to always leave it better.
Mm-hmm.
After they left, when they would come to a place, they were very much concerned about making sure that once I left this place is in a better position than it was before I got here. And I think our nation could learn a lot from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that history needs to be, again, resurrected.
100%. Talk to us a little bit, Earl. Juneteenth proper is tomorrow. I know you could come on tomorrow because you're going to be busy. Tell us a little bit about the activities down in the great city of Milwaukee tomorrow, please.
So I'll be at Juneteenth. I'll start probably at about 7 o'clock, and I'll be there to at least 4 p.m., 5 p.m. Juneteenth Day, there'll be 30 to 40,000 people.
Wow.
Inside of an 8 to 10 block radius. If you can wrap your arms around the majesty of having 30 to 40,000 people gathered inside of that 10 block radius for the majority of the day. Milwaukee is the largest Juneteenth festival in the country. Milwaukee is one of the oldest Juneteenth festivals in the country. I remember at 16 years old going to my first Juneteenth Day celebration. I think I might have missed one, but over 51 years I've been there. And it is a wonderful, wonderful time where, you know, people who sometimes have a difficult time, you know, getting together and doing things collectively. It is a day that all of that is set aside. And our children and the elders get to interact, which we don't do enough of. And on that particular day, all the rest of the garbage and junk is swept under the rug. And people understand the importance of what this is all about.
Yeah. 2 minutes left, Earl Ingram. What have I not asked you yet? Do you want to make sure that people across the state know about Juneteenth or about the activities tomorrow?
Well, that people should understand that this, for those who say, you know, why do you need a special holiday? Well, because of the things that transpired in this country. And so when you talk about the 4th of July and why can't we all just celebrate the 4th of July? Because we weren't all equal on that day. And to some extent, we're still not that today. But Juneteenth Day is an opportunity, again, for my community to accept one another, to know about our riches. A part of what Juneteenth Day is about is teaching the history to our children and bringing the ancestors back to life and having the elders interact with the children. And so if we could do that every day, it would certainly transform and change our communities by having the elders and the young people, even though we've become further apart, you know, together, even if for only this one day.
Really appreciate you, Earl. Appreciate all your work down in the Milwaukee area. Excited to hear that you and Gilbert Brown are restarting this camp for young people, both boys and girls in the Milwaukee area. You're doing more than your part to make this state great, and we appreciate you and appreciate all the work you continue to do here at Civic Media. Thank you, my friend, for being with us today.
Thank you for the invitation, man. Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Earl Ingram, right. Jr., everybody.
Bye-bye.
My pleasure. Thank you, Earl. Also, many thanks as well, not only Earl, to Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 8, who was on the program in the first hour, and to Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Also, thanks to Aaron Zomers, a great producer as well, and of course to Earl Ingram Jr. for being here on the show, and all of you for listening. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. This is Todd reminding you that whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow and recombobulate with Dan Schaefer on tomorrow's show. Until then, make it a great day.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A jury finds Karen Reed guilty of drunk driving, but not guilty on all other charges, including second-degree murder in the death of her Boston police officer boyfriend, John O'Keefe. Outside the courthouse in Dedham, Massachusetts, as the verdict was read... On the prosecution's and defense's recommendations, the judge says he'll sentence Reed to 1 year probation. American taxpayers will not pay for the ongoing appeal of President Trump's defamation case as a federal appeals court this afternoon. It denied his request to have Justice Department lawyers argue the case. A New York jury last year ordered Trump to pay the columnist E. Jean Carroll $83 million in damages for denying her accusation that he sexually assaulted her. The FDA has approved a powerful new shot that can offer near-perfect protection against HIV infection. New injection is given only twice a year. Federal Reserve decided not to reduce an interest rate. This is ABC News.